Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. We are starting a new series on Wednesday nights. I'm not exactly sure. Oh, it'll probably be 12, 15 lessons at least. We're going to talk about the topic of salvation and many things about it. I'll get into that here in a little while. But Hebrews chapter 2, I want you to keep your Bibles ready. We're going to use them a little bit tonight. Hebrews chapter 2, let me start reading in verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the words spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now watch this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now look at me. I am going to need your mind tonight. I need you to pay careful attention to this truth. If you'll listen to me, you have to understand something. There's been a lot of misuse and misteaching of doctrines and words in the Bible. Sometimes we use words interchangeably wrongly. Okay? This is going to be the case tonight. And I want to teach you and get you settled here. When a person gets saved, they get saved immediately. It happens instantaneously. The moment a person goes from trusting their own righteousness, their own works, and they trust what Jesus Christ did to take them to heaven, at that immediate moment, they are on their way to heaven. They are saved. Correct? That's what the term saved means. But listen to this statement. Salvation is a process. Being saved is not. We see here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. Take your Bible, turn there for a moment. Philippians 2:12. I want you to see this, and then I'm going to jump right into the meat of this thing. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, watch this, work out your own, what's the next thing? Salvation. Does it say work out being saved? No, it says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That does not mean that you have to work to be saved. Doesn't talk about works for being saved. But God does tell us to work out our own salvation. Now, let me say this. Being saved is the first step in the process of salvation. But saved and salvation are not the same word. Salvation literally means to salvage or to recycle. Saved means to be pulled out of something, snatched away from, but salvation itself means to be recycled or to be salvaged. All right? Let me say it this way. Being saved or born again just opens the door for the salvaging process to begin. They are not the same, and too many people think they are the same. This is why, listen to this statement. This is why people then say, well, I'm not sure they're really saved, because you're judging their salvation, not being saved. You're looking at the works for salvation, not the act of being saved. Too many people are saying that those are the same things, and they are not the same thing. Well, they say they're saved, but they sure don't live it, okay? They're saved, but they haven't worked out their own salvation yet. Just because they've not worked out their own salvation does not mean that they are not saved. You can be born. Okay, little Gus had his birthday this last week. I think he was 11 this last week. Gus's brain doesn't work quite like ours. Sometimes it works better than ours. But look, Gus has special needs. Does that mean that Gus is not a human being because his mind doesn't work like everybody else's?
Yes, sir.
Now, wait a minute. He was born. He has a birth date like everybody else does. And he was born as a human being. Guess what? Just like somebody can be saved. Even though they may not be exactly the way they're supposed to be, doesn't mean that they're not saved. Let's quit judging people's salvation and being saved as the same thing. Now, we live in a day of recycling. I am not opposed to recycling. It's not high on my priority list.
Amen.
And I don't think the world is going to die and go to the booger man because of it.
Sorry.
Somebody sent me one of the funniest things. It was a picture of a car and it had a mask on the muffler pipe. And it says, "We have the cure for global warming." I laughed until I hurt. It was so funny. Now, you can save a plastic bottle or a glass bottle or a metal can from going to the landfill. But they're not recycled, they're not salvaged until they're taken somewhere, melted down, and made into something else, correct? All right, they've been saved from the landfill. But if they sit in your garage and don't go anywhere, they've not been salvaged. They have been saved. They've been set apart. But they're not salvaged until they're taken somewhere and reused and reshaped into something else. That is exactly the difference between being saved and salvation. There is a saving and then there is a salvaging process. If any man be in Christ, being saved, he is a new creature. Ooh, that's salvation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become. It doesn't say all things are new.
Right.
It says they will become new. Did you know that a new convert has an awful lot to learn?
Yep.
Some of us old codgers have been at it a long time and we got a lot to learn. So being saved spiritually is like being pulled or set aside. And salvation is that process of turning what is saved into something else more useful for God. Now, listen to this. Being saved is God saving our spirit from hell, but he wants to salvage us also. He saves our spirit, our body, and our soul from hell at being saved, at being born again. But he wants to salvage our lives here on earth to be something better than what they were before we got saved. That's what God's talking about here. Number one, are you ready? And I'm doing pretty good on time, so I think I'm even going to give you a couple minutes back. But don't trust my thinking right now. Number one, being saved is God's part. Salvation is our part. Let me say that again. Being saved is God's part. Salvation is our part. Now, take your Bible, look at Hebrews chapter 2 again. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now look at me. God does not want us neglecting salvation. You can't neglect being saved. Once you're saved, you're saved. It's not a matter of neglecting being saved. You can't lose your salvation. You can't be unborn. Once you're born again, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus. And once you're born again, you can't be unborn. Praise the Lord for that. Did you know you don't have to revisit being born every year?
Right.
Now you can celebrate a birthday, but I don't think you want to go through the birth process again every year, do you? I know I don't, and I know my mother doesn't want to go through that ever again. Especially at the size I am right now. Now, God does not want us to neglect our salvation. Let me kind of change terms here. It's not exact, but it'll help you. Salvation and growth in grace are more comparable. Your Christian life, your growing in grace and salvation are about the same. Getting saved is the key. You can't grow in grace if you're not in grace. If you've not been saved by grace, you can't grow in grace. So God says, I don't want you to neglect your salvation. That's why he gave us the church. We are supposed to be at church to learn the word of God so that we can work out our own salvation. I love this young man right here, but I can't get saved for him.
Right.
Nor can I work out his salvation. I can teach him. I can warn him. I can try to guide him, but he must, for himself, work out his own salvation. Just like each and every individual in this room tonight has to. So being saved and salvation is different. That means this. Your walk with God is important to your salvation. If you don't walk with God, how can you work out your own salvation? That's why soul winning is important. Soul winning is you getting the gospel out, and we'll get into that in a little while, but it's you getting your eyes off yourself, helping somebody else. Wednesday, last week, before church, they had the family viewing of Miss Sarah's body. That was miserable. That is the second hardest thing I've ever experienced in my life. Seriously. At one point in time, I literally had to put my arms around my friend, pick him up, and walk him out the aisle. He had fallen down twice into a chair. He had been sick for 2 days from stress. Thursday, we were getting ready to go to a four-hour viewing due to COVID. Instead of 2 hours, it was four. He started to get sick again. I said, no, you're not. He looked at me. I said, you're going. I said, Nathan, it's not going to be as bad as it was yesterday. He said, yeah. I said, no, it's not. Trust me. I said, yesterday was the hardest you'll ever face. Today gets better. He said, I hope you're right. I put my arm around him and we walked out to the car. As soon as we got there, there were people already gathered. We walked in. He looked. He turned around, and the people started coming. And for the next 3 hours and 45 minutes, over 400 people walked by. He started talking and talking and laughing and talking and sharing things and laughing and sharing things. And talking and laughing, and before too long, you could see the strength building in him. I looked at my wife and said, see, he's getting stronger. See, he's getting stronger. By the end of the night, he was doing pretty good. Friday morning came. I said, Nathan, you're going to have one tough spot. After that, it's going to be okay. We're going to live through today. Tomorrow, we'll take care of tomorrow. And we got through the tough spot. You say, how'd that happen? Sunday morning came, he had to help his church. He started getting stronger. As he started helping his church, he said, I'm going to preach next Sunday. He started getting his eyes off his own problems, trying to help everybody else through theirs. And got strength. That's what God's talking about here. He got strength by giving strength. He got strength by helping everybody else. You see, God doesn't want us to neglect our salvation. I'm going to make a statement here. If you're a soul winner, you never doubt your salvation. I've never met a soul winner yet that doubted their salvation. Say why? Because they're constantly giving it and they're secure with it. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is a very, to our church, very common verse, but I want to show you something about it. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse number 8. For by grace are ye what?
Saved.
Wow. Through faith. And that not yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at me. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith, correct?
Right.
But let's look at verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There's your salvation. Getting saved was by grace through faith. But we're saved to do good works. That's our salvation. Being saved had nothing to do with works. Your salvation has everything to do with your works. Being saved has, works have nothing to do with it. But working out your salvation, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. When? After we've been saved. So we are to work, we're saved by grace, but we're to work or salvage ourselves with good works. Let me ask you a question. Are you still an old clunker, or are you trying to turn yourself into something worthwhile? I'm not going there. And I'm not one of these smart cars either. That's like a pregnant sewing machine, man. Can you imagine somebody getting smacked in that thing at about 50 miles an hour? Lord have mercy. These good works are not for salvation. They're because of salvation. They're not for getting saved, but it is the process of salvation after you're saved to be a good workman. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, the purpose of being saved is to keep us out of hell. But it's also so that God can salvage our lives to live a better life here. God doesn't want to just keep you out of hell. He wants to fix you up, clean you up, and turn you into something better than what you are just by yourself.
Right.
Let's face it, us by ourselves make pretty miserable people.
Amen.
Just look at Congress.
Amen.
I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi. You know, don't look too long. Don't look too long. That could damage your eyeballs. God didn't save you just to keep you out of hell. But he wants to save you and clean you up in the process of salvation so that you are better used, more usable, more productive, able to handle more in life. If all God gets is us out of hell, he's happy. But he's happier if he's able to recycle us into something better.
Amen.
You see, it's one thing for God to save you from dying and going to hell, and he's glad at that. But he would be more pleased if you just didn't sit in the garage collecting dust, doing nothing, and he could take that and convert it into something else. I've got to hurry. Number two, so many things I want to say, but I'm just going to keep plowing. Number two, soul winning is more than just keeping people out of hell. Soul winning is more than just keeping people out of hell. Brother Josh, I think you said in one of your Wednesday night messages on soul winning, if salvation is more than being saved from hell, then soul winning and the Great Commission is more than just keeping people out of hell. Now, I want you to think about this. The Great Commission, only one third of it is about getting people saved. Two thirds of it is about their salvation. Win them, get them baptized, and teach them to get other people saved. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, look at verse number 18. Matthew 28, look at verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's salvation. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This pulling people out of the garbage can, this has us pulling people out of the garbage can of hell. That's getting saved. But it also is teaching us to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's salvation. Being saved is pulling them out of the fire, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. That is your salvation. Does that make sense, everybody? Rather you head one way or the other, all right? Feel like I'm in an island all by myself and everybody's kind of going, all right? I realize the terminology is close, but and it's been misused a lot. I can't tell you that I haven't misused it over the years. Okay? I'm not complaining about it, but I think we have to understand saved and salvation, two totally different things. Look at Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. It's right after the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. Actually, Lamentations is stuck in the middle there, but most of you wouldn't even know where Lamentations was. Daniel chapter 12, look at verse number 3. I want you to watch this. And they that be wise, verse number 3, Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now look at me. This is Brother Hiles' life verse. Listen to this very carefully here. There are two righteousnesses in the Bible. There is a righteousness that is imputed to us for salvation. There's also a righteousness that is our personal living. Make sense, everybody? When you got saved, the righteousness of Christ was imputed to your account. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 10, I think it's verses 2 and 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Ooh. Salvation is an act of us taking our unrighteousness, submitting to his righteousness, his perfection, his works, not ours. And we accept that on our account and we get saved. But there is personal righteousness after we get saved. We're accountable for the righteousness after we get saved. Not for salvation, but for our life after we are saved. Now watch this. That's imputed righteousness for salvation and personal righteousness after salvation. God says here in Daniel 12, verse number 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness. That's talking about both righteousnesses. They that go out and help lost people get saved, they're turning people to righteousness, correct? But also, if you stand and teach in a Sunday school class, teaching boys and girls or teenagers or adults how to live the Christian life in salvation, or you teach it at home to your children, or you try to live it in your friends, around your friends, you're teaching them about righteousness. God says you're wise and you're turning others to righteousness. That's your salvation. Not being saved, but there are two righteousnesses there. So you are wise when you go help people do both of these righteousnesses. Isn't that what church is all about? Good night. When I knock on doors, sometimes I find saved people. I'm happy to find saved people. If they don't go to church, I tell them of a good church. I happen to know one. Amen? Brother Dorsey and I were talking, and my wife and I began talking. They're in a tough area. They're in the heart of the Bible Belt. Jackson, Locust Grove, and McDonough, there are seven independent fundamental Baptist churches almost identical to one another. You got to understand, it's about a 15, 20 minute drive. That would be like between Martinsburg, Kearneysville, and Ranson having seven churches like this. I'm not kidding. You knock on doors, people say, oh yeah, I've been saved. Well, how do you know it? Well, I was at Grandpa's church at Revival, and Brother So-and-so was preaching. Oh, I know Brother So-and-so. Yeah, I got saved under him. I met a preacher who was saved under Harold Seidler. It was one of Harold, matter of fact, Harold Seidler married him and ordained him. I was talking to him a while this week. I mean, men that I knew. Goodnight Curtis Hudson's church was just up the road from there when Curtis Hudson pastored. I mean, there are good churches all over the place. My daughter and son-in-law said, it's hard finding lost people around here. And there's a lot of truth to that. It really is amazing. oh, I could go on and on and on and on. Imputed righteousness is given at salvation. Righteousness for recycling comes after salvation. And we are to help people with this while we're out soul winning also. Amen. Soul winning isn't just about trying to get somebody saved. It's trying to get them to church and trying to help them grow spiritually and recycle them. I got to hurry. Number three, and I'll finish. You ready? Don't put your shoes on yet. I got 9 minutes. Being saved gets you the Holy Spirit. Salvation has the Holy Spirit guiding you if you yield to Him. Let me say that again. Being saved gets you the Holy Spirit. He comes and indwells you. Salvation is the Holy Spirit guiding you as you yield to Him. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, let's look at verse number 8. Many of you could quote it. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. What is that power? That power is the power of the gospel to save us. Say, how do you know that? Because it says, next words, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Once you get saved, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, comes upon you. He moves into you. He indwells you. Now watch this. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, there's your salvation. There's getting the gospel out. There's doing things. That's helping people around the world. Ye shall receive the power, or the receive the gospel. After receiving the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes on you, and He can guide you. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 15. Just back a few pages, John chapter 15, look at verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, everybody's all freaked out about COVID. Everybody's all freaked out about everybody's going to die of the virus. God says, if you got the Holy Spirit, who cares?
Amen.
I think the greatest thing to happen to our country, and please listen to all that I say, and not just the first part of this, is that President Trump ended up with COVID and did more from the hospital room than most presidents did from the Oval Office. Then he went out in his SUV, greeted the people out cheering for him, and bought him pizza. After 2.5 days, went back to the White House, jumped off Marine One and said, you don't need to fear COVID. I kicked it, and I'm 74 years old, and they say I'm overweight. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. Everybody had him dying. Everybody said, oh, he's just on steroids. He's too emotional to run the country. Is he going to invoke the 25th Amendment? They wanted him to. They wanted him to die. He too ornery to die. Right now, at least. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Look at verse number 7. John chapter 16, verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because if they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, capital S, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. In other words, the Holy Spirit's there to guide you in your salvation. Now, salvation comes, being saved comes by obeying the truth that you got to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Salvation comes by obedience to the Bible in the Holy Spirit and the teaching of the Bible with the Holy Spirit. Not by feelings and experiences. Oh, I just feel led. I felt the Spirit. Okay, show me one place in the Bible where anybody felt the Spirit. I challenge you. It's not there. Well, I got a warm, fuzzy feeling and my legs started tapping, so it must have been the Holy Ghost. Well, you could have a tick too. Who knows? You may have had a mouse run up your leg. I don't know. It could have been one of those blue lizards in Georgia that ran up your leg. I don't know. The Holy Spirit doesn't empower you by chanting over and over, oh, Holy Spirit, I yield. Oh, Holy Spirit, I yield. Oh, like a bunch of old monks. That's not how you get the Holy Spirit. You say, Holy Spirit, I'll do what you show me to do. Now show me something to do and go do it. You see, yielding means you do something, not just saying something.
Sorry.
Yielding is not an act of saying something. Yielding is an act of doing something.
Amen.
When you get on the freeway, if you're on the on-ramp, you are to yield to oncoming traffic. Some jerk in Georgia. We hadn't been in Georgia. We just checked into the hotel. We were trying to find something for Brother Dorsey. We're driving back towards his house. We're stopped in an unbelievable line of traffic trying to get on 675. And the light turned green. I had about two or three cars ahead of me. I was waiting for them to move. They just started to move, and a guy comes out of a gas station in a box truck right in front of me. Well, there's two lanes of traffic here. I'm in the inside lane. There's a suicide lane and two lanes of traffic over there, and there's 18-wheelers on everywhere. This jerk in a box truck comes out right in front of me, cuts me off, and then turns into the suicide lane. I'll promise you, cross my heart, and hope Brother Scott dies. The box on that truck, you could see it. It was this far over the fender of my car. And I laid on the horn, and my wife says, "He's going to hit us. He's going to hit us." And I'm going like this. How that man did not hit my car to this moment, I still don't know. I think God took the back end of that truck and went, because if not, I was going to take the front end of his nose and go. It's one thing to be an accident. It's another thing just to be stupid. I just was waiting for the on the front end of my car. How it didn't happen, I don't know, because you could literally see the box over the fender of my car by that far. I'm thinking, it ain't going to work. It didn't scrape. How did that happen? You know, I saw it coming. And there's nowhere to go. In other words, we have to understand obedience, yielding. We got down the road a ways, and I'm still going. I looked at my wife and said, "I think it's a good thing that that guy didn't hit us, because I'm not sure I could have been a Christian right then. I may have lost my temper with that fella." I really seriously don't know how I would have reacted at that moment. Now watch this. An unsaved person cannot have salvation because they're still in the trash heap of hell. Let me say that again. An unsaved person cannot have salvation because they're still in the trash heap of hell. They haven't been saved. Religion wants salvation to save them. Religion wants their works and their salvation to save them, and it doesn't work. You must be saved by what Jesus did, and you use being saved as a way of working out your salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. Religion says salvation is a process. You got to be baptized. You got to do this. Oh, that's part of the process of salvation, but it's not it's part of the process of getting saved. Has nothing to do with getting saved. So, listen to this and I'm done. God does not just want saved people saved. He wants them salvaged also. God does want people saved, but he'd like to salvage their lives also. He will save someone no matter whether they choose to be salvaged or not. That's a key statement. He will save them whether they choose to be salvaged or not. But he wants more for us than we want often. Remember, being saved is immediate, but salvation is a process. They're not the same. Being saved is the key that unlocks the process of salvation, but salvation is all our part. Being saved and yielding to all he did for us is all that you have to do to be saved. Being saved, salvation, they're two different things. Don't get them mixed up. That's how religion starts. Let's look at salvation as the way to get saved. You can't have this till you get this. You got to have this before you start this. That's how it works. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope I was not too confusing. I'd like it to be clear. I'd like it to be simple.